I knew as soon as I got home on Wednesday that Jacques was there with my mother. I knew it when I walked into the entrance hall of the apartment and the doorman said, "Good afternoon, Miss Camilla," and smiled at me with the eager and curious smile for which I had begun to look each time I came home. I walked across the hall and prayed that Jacques would go now that I was home, that he would go before my father came, and I was glad that I had come straight home after school instead of going for a walk with Louisa. I stepped into the elevator, and the elevator boy said, as though he had something exotic tasting in his mouth, "Good afternoon, Miss Camilla. You have company upstairs." "Oh," I said. "Yes." The elevator boy is small and fat, and though he has white hair and two of his teeth are missing and show black gaps in his mouth, he is always called the elevator boy, never the elevator man. And the way his eyes are always dancing with something malicious in them when he talks makes him seem much more like the brothers of some of the girls at school than like a grown person. His eyes had that nasty happiness in them now, as though he were about to put out a foot and trip me up and then roar with laughter when he saw me fall on my face. "That Mr. Nissen is upstairs," he said, grinning. "He asked especially if you was in, and then he said he'd go upstairs and wait for you." Yes, I could hear in my mind's ear how Jacques would ask for me, smiling and speaking in that voice of his as soft as a spaniel's ear. Yes, I am the one Jacques always asks for. I am like a game between Jacques and the doorman and the old elevator boy, a ball they throw back and forth between them, always smiling, smiling, as though they all understood the game is quite unimportant. So the elevator boy looked at me with that giggly look and stopped the elevator at the 14th floor. It is really the 13th floor, but I have noticed that in most apartment houses, they just skip 13 and call it 14. This is silly. You can change the number, but you can't change the floor. I said goodbye to the elevator boy and pulled my key out of the pocket of my navy blue coat and let myself into the apartment. I could hear their voices from the living room. My mother was laughing, high and excited and happy. "Don't ever let my father hear her laugh like that," I begged. But I don't know to whom I was begging, my mother or Jacques or God. I went down the hall to my room and hung up my coat and my red beret and put my school books down on the desk. Then I did not sit down and start my homework as I usually do when I get in, but went back toward the living room so that Jacques would be sure to know I was home. I walked heavily, clumping my school shoes down on the silver-green carpet so that he would know before I got to the living room. Then I knocked.
"Come in," my mother said. "Oh, it's you, Camilla, darling. How is school? I was saying to Jacques how well you always... Your last report card was really... Your father and I are most pleased with your progress."
My mother always talks in little rushes, as though she were in such a hurry to say everything that there isn't time ever quite to finish a sentence. Her voice sounds like a brook leaping and tumbling downhill and broken up and divided by all shapes and sizes of rocks. I went over to my mother and kissed her, and then I shook hands with Jacques. My mother said,
"Good heavens, Camilla, your cheek is like ice. Is it raining, or do you think it will snow tonight, Jacques? It's really time. Of course, I don't like snow in the city after... But then it's lovely while it's falling."